Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another night of Astro Mind 2012. I am your host, Adrian, and tonight we're going to be doing some tarot card readings. So those who callers would like to call in and get your free tarot card reading, I'd be happy to give you a reading. Tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about tarot cards and their meanings behind it. Tarot cards were used back in the time of the Egyptian days, where a lot of the Eastern Egyptian people that used to write carve things on walls, but then they started making tarot cards. Back in the European days, they also did a lot of celebrations and a lot of rituals when it came to the tarot. There's different variations of different cultures. You know, there's the Mexican community where they call it the Day of the Dead, which is another day that they celebrate tarot cards. They believe it has something to do with the dead, you know, so they would carve like skeletons and worship them, and they used to pray to them in the time of Halloween. And a lot of them would summon demons. A lot of it, you know, they either summon demons or they would pray to the dead, or they would get like stuff and then they'd give to the dead, you know, back to the dead. You know, there's different variations. It goes back to paganism, paganism and Wicca. But I don't like to refer to the tarot as a pagan thing just because I don't go into the basic knowledge or history of the tarot. But there is a lot of history behind the tarot that fascinates me, and symbolism is another thing that's always fascinated me as well. Symbolism has different variations of meanings and different things like that. But tonight we're going to be doing some readings, and I just want to welcome out all the callers, whoever's on the air listening tonight, to come in and get their tarot card reading. I know it's starting a little bit late tonight, and it's a little unexpected, but if you can hear me out there, we're going to be playing some music just to see if we can get any callers, and then I'm going to come back on, and I'm going to give the some inspiration readings for those listeners out there. Actually, I'll do that right now, and then I'll go ahead and play some music, some spooky music for Halloween, because Halloween is just right around the corner, as you know it. I got this deck. It's called The Spirit of the Will, and it's a meditation deck. And a lot of readers, they like this deck because this deck is a very powerful deck. Not too many people use this deck, but let's go back to the Indian. I don't use this deck very often, actually, this Oracle deck. But I'm going to go ahead and use this Oracle deck. It's called The Spirit of the Will. And I'm going to go ahead and read what it has to say about the room tonight. And the card I pulled is called Big Winds Moon. And it has to do with leadership, self-discipline, and psychic abilities. And I'm going to go ahead and read what it says here about Big Winds Moon. Okay. And go ahead and read what it says about this here. Let's see here. Okay, it says, those born under the Big Wind Moon are psychically connected to the spiritual realm. Their ability to communicate with unseen forces comes easily to their higher sensitivity and nature. This card signifies a time when your own psychic abilities are very strong, your intuition are very much in tune with your higher self, long enough to stop itself absorbing, as it is not only limited to your potential, but fills your instructions. You are lacking in self-discipline. Call upon the the cougar of the big wind's moon, to see your dreams and visions through the end of the spirit, is asking you to share the beauty in your life and to channel your creative inspiration and to learn to flow with the spirit of life. The spiritual energies around you take your place and power. Big wind moon people are often leader because of their spirituality and natural compassion for them to learn and to trust the great plan of creator, which would not ask you to develop and to share your gifts and where you're not ready to have faith in yourself and to see your dreams through. It says, this is the prayer, I am ready to share my spirit and the beauty of my life with the others. I call upon my energies of the big wind moon for the courage to be a leader and to use my abilities wisely for the good of this whole. Amen. And I just wanted to share that with the room for the callers. This deck is a pretty cool deck. It's a Native American deck, and I've always liked this. It's called the Spirit of the Will. And it's actually a very powerful deck. And I really enjoyed this deck here. And so if there's any callers out there that would like a tarot card reading or a psychic ability, you know, just let me know. Call in now. Get your free tarot card reading. And don't be shy. Call on the air. If you want to call in tomorrow night's show, you're welcome to. We're going to be having shows all weekend long, so feel free to call in. So go ahead and call in and get your tarot card reading. For those who have ever heard of the, there's another deck I really like. It's called the Master Tarot, and the Master Tarot is a Christian deck, and it goes back to, you know, talks about Jesus and his apostles, and it talks about, you know, different things like that. Another one is a very good deck called the Zodilock Tarot cards, and the Witch's Tarot, which is also really cool, and the Mermaid and Dolphins Tarot cards. So you'll really like these decks. They're really amazing and a lot of fun. And it looks like we got a caller here from the 111 area. You're on the air with Adrian. Hello. Can you hear me? Hello? 111 area, you're on the air. Hello? Looks like we're having some technical difficulties. Can you please state your name? Hello? Let's see if we can click them in again. Let's try the 111 area again. 111 area, can you hear me? Hello. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello?
Hello. Is this Carla?
Yes.
How are you doing, Carla?
My number was showing up, was coming up like that. Kind of weird.
Yeah, that's really weird. Saying 111 on the air. How are you doing tonight, Carla?
I'm doing all right. And how are you doing, Adrian?
Oh, not too bad. The reason why I wanted you on the air tonight, I was just wondering if you wanted to do the I don't know if you wanted to share that, some of the meditation on the air. You know, maybe that might be kind of cool, you know. We can do like a meditation or something.
Okay, I kind of missed like the first part of like the introduction of your show because I don't know what the subject is about tonight.
Well, we're kind of, looks like we're not getting too many callers in right now, so I figured I'd have you on the air and see if you wanted to share a meditation with the listeners, you know.
Wow, you put me on the spot. A meditation.
You know, just something inspirational for the callers, you know. You want to share something?
Well, right now I have a lot of stuff on my mind. My niece is in the hospital.
Oh, okay. Well, it looks like
We
have one caller that just called in. Is there anything that you want to share for the callers? Like anything positive or like you know, inspirational or anything like that?
Well, I've noticed that there's a lot of things that have been, you know, changing. And it's kind of weird. I mean, all this stuff that, you know, keeps being brought up about the Mayan calendar and the end of the world. You know, I keep on doing a lot of reading and research on a lot of this stuff. And what it seems to keep on coming to is that it's not necessarily the end of the world, but rather the end of the world as we know it.
Right.
There is definitely a shift of higher consciousness is supposed to be occurring. And a lot of people are starting to realize that this veil that we have with, invisible forces and spirits
mm-hmm.
and things like that is becoming less and less of a veil. You know, there's more people.
Not to interrupt or anything, but did Elena ever teach you about the Inca cross?
I've been taking a lot of the classes. And I go back because there are teleseminars. Some of the classes are set up that way. Other ones
uh-huh.
are set up like MP3. And I'm pretty much in level 3 is where I'm at.
Okay.
With everything that I've done. And it's pretty interesting. It's some of the knowledge is just passed on through energy.
Interesting.
And how that opens up for every single person is going to be different. So it's pretty dynamic. It's very individual. It's odd because it's a very general energy gift
uh-huh.
that you might get or something like that. But then it becomes something very individual because it varies from individual to individual, depending on the needs of the person or where their
right.
consciousness is already, at what level it's already at.
Uh-huh.
But I've been doing that for probably about 9 or 10 months now. And I've actually been doing the classes over and over and over. And every time I do it, it brings me to a higher consciousness than it did the time prior. So it's very interesting. I mean, I would recommend it to anyone who's looking to have a heightened sense of awareness without
uh-huh.
Undergoing something really traumatic.
And how has it affected your life, Carla? You know, the Inca cross or from this training that Elena has offered you. I know that Elena has really transformed a lot of people's lives, and we've had her on our show a couple of times, and she's
right.
an
that's
amazing woman. You know?
Right, that's actually how I had met her the first time around. She has a lot of knowledge, that's for certain. A lot
right.
of the things that she's it's kind of like a cross between Reiki, from
mm-hmm.
what these energy gifts. Sacred geometry is also involved.
Uh-huh.
And definitely dimensional work, which a lot of this energy healing and stuff, people don't realize it's definitely dimensional. And she talked, one of the classes that I took that's about in level three, it's about energy attacks. Very interesting. Because it talks about vampirism and emotional vampires and, you know, the different types of, different ways that people can actually take from another person their energy. It's extremely interesting, in fact, that you don't really realize that it's happening until you really don't equate it with an energy attack per se. But I mean,
right.
You might get someone who's constantly calling you and leaning on you too much and expecting you to be strong for them. And does
these classes help you to protect yourself from these energy attacks? I know we're being attacked every day and we're being affected by a lot of different things, you know?
Right. Even like different energies coming, just even getting into an argument with a relative can cause an energy attack.
Right.
Some negative thoughts that we project. Right. A lot of that stuff, that's something else that she actually talked more on her show about. It doesn't really touch on it so much in the classes, not in the ones that I've had so far.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done other reading and research on some of the stuff that she had talked about. And with the energy gifts themselves, now they kind of open up your mind. They open up your third eye and help to get you more energetic, your own system, more fortified and energetic. It's almost like having a system of protection. And it talks about entities, like dark entities that might become like attachments to people. And there was one caller that she had, or one student rather, didn't realize that she had been under, she had attachments to her for quite some time. And I thought this was really interesting listening to the class, because it was live when she recorded it. I just listened in as a recording after the fact, so I didn't get to talk to anybody in the class.
Wow.
But it was really interesting how it's really one of the primary things that I've noted is really you got to know yourself. You got to know what is normal and what is customary to yourself to really be able to identify other things that are maybe around you or outside of you. And so being reflective a lot, taking some time for yourself, doing a meditation for yourself, really when you give yourself that, you can also give other people a lot too, because you're making yourself stronger, and so you can be strong for the people around you. You're not going to be leaning on them so much.
Okay.
So I mean, that's one thing that I've noticed.
Would you say these psychic attacks could also be people who depend on people too much for things?
Yes, actually, I was watching a movie earlier tonight with my mother, and some of the classes that I took, she was like, "Really, that stuff teaches you about that?" And I was like, "Yes." They call it evil eye in the Bible, and I think in India they call it something else. It starts with an M. It's really interesting, but in foreign countries, evil eye is so regarded as like something to be very feared. Like you might have somebody, a visitor that comes into your house and they see something that they really like. In foreign countries, they'll just hand it right over to them, regardless of the value of it, because they fear this evil eye so much. And evil eye comes from like basically jealousies. And the classes that she teaches, the contamination that occurred in our third dimension here happened due to jealousy from what she had mediated the story back in Atlantis. It's a very interesting story how she goes through all of that and she has some light workers that, you know, talk about that. So jealousy is actually a very, very strong negative thing that could really, it robs people. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why it's one of the Ten Commandments. I mean, you can go down through the whole thing. I mean, religion's great, but it's just the basis of, becoming a very spiritual person.
Right.
And I think both are very important. And that was something else that I was talking to somebody about earlier. I mean, religion shouldn't be something that people use to, you know, hurt other people or anything like that. But, you know, it's happening in this world, and that's really terrible. it's a truth.
I agree.
And I think we were talking about the 9/11 thing in regards to the religion and stuff like that. Because I think there's a lot more going on with that than we realize. And I think with this, the awakening that, or the shift that we're going to be going through, I think that there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to come out regarding 9/11.
Wow.
We already know that Iran, the president over there, I forget what his name is, but he really had a big stink with our president, Obama, due to he merely just asked, you know, about, to get clarification. He wanted to know more about the investigation. What did they really come up with? Can it be reinvestigated? And Obama just kind of blew
off. Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
Right. And since then, things have been really tense with Iran and the United States. And, you know, if you think about it, you know, what happened? What if it's true? What if it was an inside job? What if it wasn't really Muslims that did all this? What if? And, you know, why would we want to blow something off? What's wrong with having a reinvestigation? It's almost like going to the doctor and the doctor saying you have cancer. And would you want to leave it at that? Or would you want to get a second and third opinion?
That's true, yeah.
Right, you don't want to leave it in one person's hands or one agency's hands. And, you know, any government is
just
open to corruption.
Yeah.
Right, they can cover up anything. And
just to make money off of you or something, yeah.
Or to cover something up. And that's a lot of things that her class actually, you know, being in the light, it's all about truth, it's about justice. And, you know, if you think about it, having something in the dark is something that's kind of hidden. It's not exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the light, everything is kind of known. There's nothing hidden there.
That's true.
So that's a lot of what her class is about and how to stay in the light. And it's kind of based on a lot of, right, it's a lot of it is based on the teachings of, you know, Jesus, what he had brought to the Bible in the New Testament. So, you know, and it all goes back to government and people treating each other really a lot better and knowing how to do it. It's not just, okay, I have this knowledge. It's also about application. And that's the interesting thing about her class is that these energy gifts help you feel the way that you're supposed to, and they lift out negative, not just self-limiting beliefs, but also just negative feelings. I mean, unfortunately, it can be very, you don't want to go through it really fast, because I've done that, and it can make you really angry. Like, if one of your self-limiting beliefs was that you're not attractive,
which a lot
of us go through that. You know, that's kind of upsetting. It's frustrating. You end up kind of rejecting yourself for that. And, you know, there's a definite truth to, in order to love others, you really have to love yourself. But it also doesn't just stop at loving yourself, but accepting yourself and being okay with every inch in awkwardness that, you know, you might perceive that you have about yourself, and being okay with being an individual, a unique individual, and not feeling that you have to be just like, I don't know, Cindy Crawford or you know, somebody else that, you know, most people would, have put on a pedestal for, you know, whatever it is about them. Oh, she's tall. Oh, she's got great hair. Oh, she's really pretty. she's got a great voice, you know, whatever the ordeal is. It's really more about self-acceptance, and when you can accept yourself for any of your awkwardness and see it as a plus regardless, because it's part of your own unique personality or person, it helps you to start seeing things, as she puts it, in, I think, the sky, the spirit of the sky, or it's another one, I'm not sure, but it's about seeing things through the eyes of God. How would he see us if he were us? If
That's
he were
very
in
true.
Our shoes? You know, it's about being open and accepting, not just of other people, but, you know, before you can be open and accepting of other people.
How would
you
feel if we had the caller join in our conversation from the 817 area? Can you hear us?
Hey, Adrian, it's Monica.
Oh, it's Monica. How you doing, Monica?
All right, how are you?
That's
Hi, Monica.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad that you came on. This is my friend Carla. And I'm glad that you came on, because Monica is a good friend of mine, Carla, and she's a very wonderful lady. She's very gifted, you know, can see things.
Oh, wow.
And we're all intuitive here, so that's good.
Yeah. You got great energy, Carla.
We're all there.
Nice to meet you, Monica.
Nice to meet you, too. Love what you're saying. It's really, really everything I've been thinking about. As we Mexicans say, it's todo lo que estaba pensando. You know, I've been, everything you're talking about, what's going on is, you know, you're right on the money right there. And the thing about 9/11, it was an inside job, that I do know. And it is coming out. True.
Right.
It's just a matter of time.
They had a lot of stuff on YouTube on there, and I was actually prior military. I don't like to say anything negative about my America, but I have to be honest. When I seen some of the footage, those planes did not look like commercial airlines, and commercial airlines do not carry bombs on the bottom of them. And that's the footage that I seen. It's possible that the footage could have been rigged, but I really doubt it, because they were from tourists, you know, kind of new to New York City. They just happened to be clowning around with their camera, their video camera, and they got that footage. So it's highly unlikely that it's something that's been tampered with.
Right.
And why would anybody want to present any kind of information like that unless it was true?
Exactly. Well, there's so much coming up. There's so much that has not been revealed as far as when they had the inspectors go in. They classified all that information. Why?
Right.
So I thought that was kind of odd in itself, that they would classify it.
That is odd.
Because of Homeland Security and all that. But, you know, the public wanted to know, the people wanted to know exactly what happened, and they couldn't tell them anything.
And we all have a right to it. We all have a right to know. And when another country that is so, you know, their religion is mostly Muslim,
right?
They have a right to know. They're being accused. Why wouldn't they need to know? I mean, they have been. I'm not for or against any religion. I'll say that right up front. But I am for the truth. I am for justice for anybody who's innocent when they've been declared so guilty. And it just, everything seems really odd. It's just not matching up with what the story that's been given to the public, as opposed to what I've seen presented from other people that have looked into it, especially things that I actually know, like the way that the Twin Towers fell. From being hit at the top, when I was over in Korea, because they have a population that matches almost the United States, but the size is about like Indiana. If you can imagine that, they have to build up.
Wow.
They have no choice but to build up, because trying to support that many people, where are you going to put everyone?
Exactly.
So they can't really build out so much because they don't really have the space for it. And plus, there's a lot of mountainous terrain over there. So it's a lot of building upward, because that's one way to take one little block of land and fit a lot of people on it. So they do have a lot of, apartment buildings that are like 20 stories high and things like that. But they're constantly wrecking and then rebuilding too there. How can they do that without hurting their people? And, you know, I saw the way that they went through, and they do have to put the bombs. They have to have everything in order to get the top to fall at a certain time, and then the bottom, and then all the way down. A bunch of amateurs might actually know that there's got to be a way that they have to disassemble to, I guess, tear down that whole building.
Right.
Hitting it from the top only would have only, severed it halfway.
Exactly.
At best, right. How did the whole thing fall down? And why did they need to attack that? What was there?
Exactly.
What was the threat, and who would do something like that? And I think it goes back to, like, World War II, where we have coined as the Millionaire Club. And, what was actually in the Twin Towers that was such a big deal? Wasn't it the stock exchange?
No, it was
Main
military.
The main military?
Uh-huh. All the records.
Well, they did get the... They tried to go after the White House, I'm sure. And they did go after the Pentagon. So...
Right.
But there was something else there that had to do with the economy.
Yes, and that was
Towers.
The information that was going to be released by one of the colonels that was killed in there.
In the Pentagon or in the Twin Towers?
Twin Towers.
Wow.
Wow.
There was a cover-up.
Well, it sounds like it.
Thing was, is people were saying that they heard explosions before the airplanes hit.
That's what I heard, yeah.
They're bringing that out more now. They're showing it, the videos. I've heard it, and I've seen it on YouTube, and I've heard it on Blog Talk on other shows.
Right.
I've heard it, too.
Yeah, they're... People were saying, we heard explosions, but they all of a sudden, they said, this is all the video feedback that they took off of YouTube, different places. They stopped showing it on TV. Was what the people were saying, was they heard explosions inside the inside the buildings are muffled. People on the street heard it and said that they thought that something was going off at the time, right before the planes hit.
And just the way the building fell, it just went boom, boom,
yes.
Boom.
Yes.
Yeah.
That,
right.
They said that the only way a building like that could fall was if there were explosives set up on each floor.
Right.
Yep.
And
exactly.
That's exactly how it happened. It was a setup, because they showed the picture. I got a kick out of it. They showed the picture of Mr. Bush Jr. sitting there trying to act like he didn't know what was going on, and you could read it. I could see his face, and I could see his eyes, and I knew he knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
He knew everything. He gave it away.
Oh, yeah.
I read
right.
it real quick, and I said, yep, he knew. He knew exactly what was going to happen. That's why he was sitting in a classroom reading to kids when it happened.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It really is. All because,
well, you know,
They were going to release the information about the black, what is that called?
Blackwater?
We don't know. Not the black ops, but the black, I can't think of the name. But anyway, they're the ones that they're not really military either. They're private sector. Of who gets what money? Those records were in the toward the towers. That information.
Oh.
And they were going to expose all that to let people know where our money was going, where taxpayers' money was going. And they didn't want the people to find out.
Wow, I had no idea. But, you know, that makes sense why they would go. Because it never made sense completely when I heard about the stuff. They wanted to hurt the economy.
Yeah.
And they wanted to hurt the stock exchange and things like that.
Right.
And they were trying to pin it on the whole thing with, what's his name? The guy from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, Gaddafi.
That's the guy from Iraq.
The one
with the Taliban.
Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
Bin Laden.
Yeah, and when I was in the military, again, I had some military experience, and, you know, I used a little bit of that knowledge to, like, you know, put things together, and it didn't make any sense.
Right.
I actually was in leadership school, and they released that tape. It was, what year was that? 2002, during the summertime. It was like about 2 or 3 months prior to the Twin Towers attack.
Right.
They released it out in the media, and I was there at home watching that, and I was thinking, why are they not taking that more serious? They had newscasters laughing about it like it was a joke. Oh, he's going to declare war on the United States.
Yeah.
Now, with any kind of threat like that, and it's done in the media, you've got to take precautions. They already knew what this guy was capable of, because when I was there in Saudi, I think about 3 or 4 years later, or earlier, I mean, when we hit the ground there in Saudi Arabia, and we were there pretty much for, you know, a basic, just there to cover ground. Just there for a presence.
Right.
And was right after one of the bombings down in Riyadh had happened. You submit them.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit where I think it was all the Queen's chefs were. Because we had the UN over there with us. It wasn't just Americans, of course. We had the British and we had the French there.
Right.
So, I remember that had just happened, and I went over there. I had volunteered to go over. Everybody said, "You're crazy. You're going to get bombed." But I had faith. I said, you know, it'll be an experience. I signed up for this. This is what I'm here for. This is part of what I'm here for. So I went over there, I really had no issues. It's definitely a different culture.
Oh, yeah.
But aside from all that, we got a briefing right when we hit the ground, pretty much. You know, we got to get some rest and everything because it was a long flight. And, you know, we get our in-briefing. And during that in-briefing, we had the agents and everything there letting us know what we're up against and why we had to kind of, you know, stick together and things like that. We had to, you know, have a quick briefing of what the culture is there.
Right.
And that we had to use the buddy system and things like that, what kind of things had happened already, and who was at the bottom of it and why.
Mm-hmm.
They had told us about bin Laden right off. They called him a prince, though, that he was one of the princes of the king, and that he did not want us there. We were actually being paid quite a good sum of money while we're there. That's why it was tax-free, because our government was not covering it. And so they wanted us out of there. That's their money. I mean, if you think about it, if you got, you know, your dad is paying all these soldiers and he felt that he could have his own army on top of that. He could build his own army and make it a lot cheaper. And
right.
So he was actually training soldiers and stuff, or, you know, the Muslim people there that wanted to join his army. He was actually
right.
training people so that he could defend his own Saudi Arabia, and they didn't need us, or that they could have less of us there because we were being paid quite a bit of money on a daily basis, a lot of money.
They were doing, the U.S. was doing to Saudi Arabia what France and Germany, Russia did to England. They paid, England paid for a lot of their army. They were like mercenary type men.
Right.
And they paid for a lot of their military. That's what he was trying to get rid of, because it was costing
right.
them money. The thing, too, was, they were so close. The families were so, Bush's families and his family were so close, you know, with their oil dealings and the money and all that involved.
Mm-hmm.
They really saw him as a troublemaker, honestly.
Right.
Because if the Americans got out of the deal, they were going to lose all that money. The Bushes didn't want to lose that money.
Right. That's what I was also going to get at, too, because I started doing some research on Bush.
Right.
Junior,
right.
He had actually had some failed businesses and things like that that had happened, and he had some
right.
billionaires that was footing the bill for him to get back into business,
right?
And to be more of a success and helping him to become, I guess, putting a plan together, because you know any business you need to have a plan.
Exactly.
That's gonna, and if you want it to be successful, you want it to be something that is. It's foolproof, pretty much. You know, you got to cover all the bases.
Exactly.
You got to know what you're doing. You got to set it up in the right place. You got to have the research and everything else.
Yeah.
You know, and these billionaires, of course, they're successful. They know what's
right.
going to work. They have the experience behind them. And so he was there making deals for some of these people. And amazingly, certain things, their agendas was being implemented into our government. It kind of goes
right.
back to the lobbying and stuff like that. And,
exactly.
you know, it was obvious that Bush had made some deals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started reading some of that stuff. I really don't like talking about this stuff on the radio. But the truth of it is the information's right there on the Internet on top of
right.
everything else. And,
yes.
you know, they don't deny about some of these business deals and things. And,
no. Because
and,
they know
and
that
I
a
know,
lot of not going to look it up. They're not going to research it. Those that
mm-hmm.
research it, those that talk about it, what do? They try to label them as crazies and conspirators and, you know, things like that. I think
mm-hmm.
the truth, we're so close to the truth now. A lot of people are having a like-mind attitude when it comes to things like this now because the negativity, the waves are so... they're fluctuating so much. That's the one thing I told Adrian about was I can feel the magnetic waves. And I was letting him know when the year started out that they were just going to be so erratic, and they have been so far.
Uh-huh.
You are right. They are.
Yes, and right now it's like it's almost like a slow motion feeling to me right now with the magnetic waves because we're coming to the point December's so close, and when the alignment happens, the magnetic field is going to drop, and a lot of people are not going to be able to handle it.
I noticed that.
Yeah. Do you feel kind of like you go slow motion sometimes?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what's happening. But that negativity
it slows down
is
and
also,
then it speeds up.
Right, right. The negativity is losing its effect. Whatever
uh-huh.
they were doing, whatever they're doing to keep us at an even flow and in confusion, they're losing the grip.
That was another thing that I have realized. I had been going through an immense amount of attacks, and what I've realized is these governments, you know, we're kind of behind the curve. As far as this, what do they call it, psychic spying?
Right.
psychic spying and using black magic or magicians, rather, that use spirits and things like that.
Right, remote viewing, things like
that. Right, to get results within our government and over people in a general sense.